Will he tip the card?
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air.
We'll tip the card here.
I'll tip the card this weekend.
Mick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
Yes, it's that time of the week once again. Every Friday, the Shark is here to find us all the weekend winners. Friday Form Focus. And he's a busy shark today because not only will he attempt to tip the card at Flemington, where we'll get a Melbourne Cup ticket in the Andrew Ramsden, we'll also be looking at the features in Adelaide and Doomben and any little sneaky that might be out wide. Shark Nado, how's your week?
Week's been very good. I'm all fired up this morning, actually. You know, you sometimes drive along and I was listening to the radio and I thought, yeah, probably had enough of half this morning. I might just, you know, there's not a lot of joy to talk about when you're a North Melbourne supporter. So I'll just reach for the tunes, whack some music on, and you're a fan of Muse?
Muse?
Yeah.
No.
I've got a great song called Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh, there you go.
If you feel like you can run through a brick wall, just pump that on at full noise for a bit.
And good morning to Daniel Harford, who's an avid listener and was a fan of the Sharks until he just heard that.
Well, he just said he wasn't listening. He's going to breakfast, so hey, he's not interested.
By the way, before we get stuck into it, Mickey Walker, such bad news that it came through officially this morning. What was that?
It's a bit of Muse.
Oh, it's a bit of Muse.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
He's got a broken leg, unfortunately. He's undergoing surgery this morning after he had a fall last night. So Michael Walker just can't take a trick. The injuries he has had through his career, for him to have had that fall last night and now be on the sidelines for, you'd have to say it'd be a decent period of time if he's undergoing surgery on that broken leg right now.
Oh, there's some people are just unlucky, aren't they? Like, he on the track, he's had enough injuries for, you know, to sustain a normal jockey's career. Remember he fell off a cliff and a pig landed on him?
Well, he was carrying the pig.
Well, yeah, but it sort of...
It didn't just fall out of the sky.
It was like one of those Roadrunner cartoons, you know, when the old mate's got the big rock and then he falls over and then he's lying there and then the rock falls on him. It was a bit like that. Not to...
Make light of it. One thing we do know about the Cuz, as he is affectionately known, is that he is a fighter and he's determined and he will come back again. So our thoughts are with you, Mickey Walker. That means we'll have a number of jockey changes, none of which at this stage have come through. SMS, quick, blow the siren. Yeah, our listeners are onto it. Any tangents, you're already
on notice. Not a fan of Muse.
Already on notice. If Sharky names his boat the Card...
Card.
He may well tip it. That's his best chance. That's from Billo. I like that, Billo. And it's it's not outside of the realms of possibility.
No, I never tip the boat.
You sure?
No.
Well, you've been leaking.
Matty Stewart's been in my boat and it hasn't tipped.
You've been leaking a lot of water in the tip department recently.
Oh, rubbish.
Hey,
last week we were flying.
What did you tip last week?
The thing in Queensland that bolted in.
What was that?
Wallacing in the Oaks lead up, won by 85 lengths.
Okay.
There was something else too.
I can't remember. Seven days is a long time in racing.
Yeah, it was.
You got to mark down your winners because we'll clip them up. You normally text me. I didn't get any text messages, so I thought you had a bad weekend. Hey, finding out what we're going to be playing on tomorrow, we need to have a chat to Liam O'Keefe because it's beautiful blue skies in Melbourne. It's a crisp, cool autumn morning, but the rain is set for later today and tomorrow. So Liam O'Keefe, the track manager, is out at Flemo. Good morning, Liam.
Morning, Morgan.
How much rain are you expecting we'll get in the next 36 hours?
They're saying around 1 to 5 mil both today, later on today, and then early tomorrow, and easing off mid-afternoon tomorrow. So we've already had 21.4 millimetres since Tuesday. 5 mil of that came late yesterday, last night. So that's left us on a soft 6 this morning, going sick 8.4, and the shears 11.1, and the running rail is in a 2 metre position.
Going to be really cold day today and tomorrow. So with that added rain, are you expecting we'll get into the soft 7, maybe even worse?
I think if we get the upper end of 1 to 5 both days, we'll end up at 7. But it's just going to be a matter of if we can get through today reasonably unscathed, and then we only get a couple of mil in the morning, and it clears off, we might stay at 6, but just a bit of a watch and see at this stage.
All right. Rails out 2. What are we expecting, especially down the straight tomorrow? Where will they go?
Yeah, rail 2 covers most wear and tear. Being a rain-affected track, I would expect them to ease off the fence later in the day for circle races. And for the straight races, I'd envisage them coming up the middle to outside. Yeah, normally the pattern of the day, so I'd expect them to do that again tomorrow.
All right, leave us with your best today, Liam. Looking ahead, considering the rain we're going to get.
I'll go for Miami Bound. Yeah, local, loves the conditions and the track, so I think it's a pretty safe bet tomorrow.
Yeah, she's going to be hard to beat in the Andrew Ramsden. Look forward to catching up with you out at the Flemington tomorrow. We'll be live trackside tomorrow from 10 o'clock.
Thanks, guys. See you then.
Good on you, Liam. Liam O'Keefe. So, have you done the form for a soft seven? We know Flemington's a great draining track, but when you're getting really cold nights, frosty mornings, and a bit of rain, it's going to be a genuinely effective track, you'd imagine, tomorrow.
I kind of anticipated more a 5 to a 6, but I have sort of looked around horses that we know can handle the soft. So, yeah, look, soft seven's a little bit more moist than I anticipated. I will say that.
All right. Well, you're a very good tipster that can shuffle things on the run.
Oh.
So, normally, most of your stuff's on the run. So, let's look at tomorrow at Flemington. First race, because I want to spend a decent amount of time on the Goodwood and the 10,000 as well. This two-year-old's a tricky race. We haven't seen a lot of these favoured runners. The favourite is La Fargue is at $3.20, first starter from the O'Brien stable. Rainair is at $5, a first starter from the May Eustace stable. Then we get to see River Views first up at $5.50. And then For Real Life, a first starter from the Causton's yard, about $7. What?
One of my daughters says that. Yeah, yeah, For Real Life. Okay.
So who has caught your eye in the jump outs?
As far as jump outs are concerned, most of them have shown something. La Fargue, however we're pronouncing that, has trialled well. It's got good speed, has a nice little kick at the end of his trial, so you would expect it to have good talent. Mimosas isn't hopeless through the Cranbourne heats there about a week and a half ago. It's got decent talent. River Views, it had been going okay into that Moonee Valley Inglis race last prep, and it was, you know, an each-way chance, I think it's fair to say. Its Cranbourne win back a week and a half ago at the Cranbourne trials was very strong. So they'd be the pick for mine out of those. For Real Life, going okay. Like, there's some natural sort of two-year-old bred horses here that look like they're going well enough at the jump outs. It's tricky to sort them out because not many of them have seen this sort of ground before.
That River Views, it's changed stables. It was a Hayes Dabbening runner, and now it is with Price and Kent Jr. So it's obviously shown a bit of ability. So whatever went wrong there, Blinker's first time tomorrow could be a watch runner as far as the market's concerned.
Yeah, I think so. It might be, of the ones that we've seen at the races, yeah, River Views, I think we need to have another look at on the basis of that trial. I Am War, there's something there. I've got a couple of mates in that horse. There's something there. I just don't. They were probably aiming a little bit high for Maribyrnong trials and Maribyrnong plates, but he wasn't disgraced. He might be one at an each-way price that could run a cheeky race. And Deluxe Legend loved the debut run behind Chiati and then up to 1,400 and just didn't look like it had much of an idea there at about 1,400. Straight back down in trip. No shock to see it improve. It's a messy race. I don't think we need to be betting in the opener.
All right, well, you did get into a little bit of strife last week when you, I think you had the first four or five races where you were just waiting,
to pounce. We're just being patient.
Give us your tip for posterity in the first.
Let's run with I Am War for the boys. Go on. Get it home for the pain, boys.
$31.
Yeah.
All right.
BP, he'll be listening on a job site somewhere. Right. Although, it's too windy for fishing. He usually knocks off
it's
work.
It's a no-bet race.
Fishing.
You've gone with a roughie that you've just thrown a pin at in the first race, too.
No, look, it does have ability. I know Brenton and the team that are involved in the horse, it did show talent last prep. I think they just had to throw it at the stumps during the spring for some good races, but it wouldn't shock me if you ran a nice race.
All right. Good luck to the boys. It did pull up with Musicus last start as well. So first up tomorrow at Flemo, race number two. This looks a tricky race as well. No scratching. Sure Can's a favourite for 20. Sweet Carolina at $4.40 and Star of Eden is at $5. Star of Eden last start went over to Morphettville. Was it the distance or was it the class that found Star of Eden out? Because it was really good before that.
Yeah, I don't think it was the distance. She'd been staying on really well in the Ethereal and races like that during the spring. So they went along at a pretty solid tempo. And I reckon second up, it might just have taken the wind out of her sails that last little bit. And then she was staying on at one pace. And two horses sort of came either side of her and basically squeezed her like a little, like, you know what it was like? You know those little garlic squashes? It was like that. You put the little clove of garlic in there and then you squish it. That's what happened to Star of Eden. She got spat out the back and it wasn't ideal. I think she can win this. She's group placed. Some of these will probably only dream of that sort of standard of form, I would suggest. There are a couple in the race that are still improving. Sure Can is one of them. She just drifted too far back on the inside after her maiden win and was held up inside horses. She was all right once she got out, but you know, it wasn't exactly charging to the line like guaranteed to win next start or anything like that. Reckless Moon is another one. I know it's a maiden, but it should have won on debut at Bendigo. I thought she was over the odds.
$34.
Here. Yeah, she is well and truly over the odds. I don't know how she's going to go on soft ground. We're guessing there. But Jared Robinson might have a handy horse here. There wasn't any love for her in the market, but she really kept trying. It's a bit of a trait, I guess, of Poisson's Delunes. They just keep staying on. They keep finding the line. So that's what Reckless Moon did. Star of Eden on top. I could have a little win bet there at, what is she, $4 or $5?
$5
Star of Eden. There you go, $5. Yeah, that'll go. That'll do.
And I like that each way play Reckless Moon around at about $34. There's another one I thought won really well and is a big price here, and that's Rosenstrass at $23. Do you give Rosenstrass any hope?
Some hope. I thought there were a few holes in that maiden that she won. Tarantello's not exactly the most gifted horse going around. Yeah, she's some hope of running a place. It's that sort of race. If she ran a good fourth or third, you wouldn't be shocked.
All right. Reckless Moon each way and a win bet is the play for Sharky on Star of Eden, race number 2 at around about the $5. Race number 3 is the Breeders' Handicap tomorrow. Just having a look at the market here. Sartorial Splendor, if you just look at its form on paper, is it just going to be too quick? I know he goes up in weights, but Matty Cartwright takes 3 kilos off. He outsped them last start down the Flemington Straight. Why won't he do it again?
That's a good question. He beat some of these last time. Others, you really, like a horse like Free of Debt, has the ability just to wallop this lot, given the handicap. But it's been a long time since we've seen anything like his best form. He was gelded into the spring. I actually tried him in that 9.55 race over the Cox Plate Carnival, and he was just meek.
I think he had a throat issue.
Issues galore. It's a real shame for Chris Beig because the horse has got talent. If there was money for him and he won, you'd probably cop it on the chin. Otherwise, I think it's Sartorial Splendor's race to lose, really. The query would be if it gets into that soft 7 range. We don't really know how good he is on a really wet track. But he's fast. Mick D rated him really well down the straight when he beat some of these last time. I don't see why he can't repeat. Matty Cartwright's just got to get that mid-race tempo right. You know, let the horse roll and use his natural speed, but don't let him overdo it and probably don't restrain him so he's fighting either. But Matt's won on the horse before at Mornington. I think he's got a fair understanding of how he races and what his strengths are. I think he probably should win.
Would you take 230?
Oh, I don't know, because he's limited. This is the thing. Horses like this that you know, they just hover around off-season handicap range. It wasn't long ago he was winning a benchmark 78 at Mornington. Suddenly he's in open handicaps because they're pretty weak. I don't know if that's the sort of price I want to be flying into for Sartorial Splendor, but I do think he'll probably win.
230 Sartorial Splendor, if we get into the 7 range, would you then be looking more at I Did It For Love, who does really enjoy the cut out of the ground, chased him home last start at $6, or would you be looking for something at a bit better value? Even a horse like Chicago Cub, who flies first up usually,
yeah,
it's around about $11.
Chicago Cub was a bit plain last prep for me. I'd struggle to get really confident about it. and you start going through some of the others, like Pinion just gets back and runs on. Rock Prophet, you know, it's run some nice races way out of its class. It was only beaten 2.5 in the Bobby Lewis to Zatori. But then it comes back to a benchmark 70 and it can't win there. It can't even run a place, right? So it's a race full of unreliable horses, if you know what I mean. And looking at it as we stand right now, Sartorial Splendor is probably the most reliable going into the race. So soft seven I probably wouldn't play. If it was a 5 or a 6 and he drifts to, you know, if you get 250, 260, 270, something like that, yeah, I might have a little dash, but I'm not mad keen to bet on that horse at that price.
All right. Sartorial Splendor on top in race number 3 at Flemington for Shark. SMS's Michael, did I hear you call Sharky a good tipster? That's from Michael from Brisbane.
No.
With a couple of winking emojis. Shark, I trust you followed me last week when I gave you the moral at Donald deprivation, won the classic with a bit to spare.
Oh, yeah.
We're off to Warwicknabeal tomorrow.
Okay.
This is from Josh in Horsham, who is dominating the...
Well, he's given us one.
The country circuit. Hey, he's given us one. You're only as good as your last tip. And well, for domination. Josh, he is on top. So I'm just going to try and find... Where is the Warwicknabeal market? So we're up. Here we go. Warwicknabeal tomorrow. Roland's Drunks run behind Thrill Kill at this track trip a few weeks back. Reads super for this. Might get an each-way price with any luck. All right, so Roland's Drunk. I'm not sure what race that is in. We'll try and have
Roll
a look.
Roland's Drunk, yeah, it was a
Roll
winner.
Roland's Drunk. Oh, it's in race,
Narracourt,
race 7. Race 7, number 2.
Start winner at Narracourt, I reckon.
Jacob Opperman's on board. Jamie Opperman, I should say, is on board. So no markets up as yet. So for Josh, he's looking to go 2 for 2. He's tipping Warwicknabeal, race 7, number 2, tomorrow. Any other tips you've got, listeners? Any inside mail?
No, 400-metre American horse.
No, the quarter horse racing's out. For those who had the early luck tester last week.
That was embarrassing. Whoever sent that
they didn't even call the. They didn't even honestly, call the horse.
Honestly, whoever, if you sent that in, ban yourself. Like you should just be banned for 12. Self-exclusion for 12 months.
Hey, Quinny loves the quarter horse racing. He loves having a little flutter on that. So if you've got the right one, you can have a crack. But that was a disappointing tip last week. Race number 4 is over 2,000 metres. Take out the 6. Don't Doubt Dory. $2.80. Hypnos is an interesting runner. What can you tell us about this Kiwi having its first starter? Well, it's still a Kiwi because Roger James is bringing it over here with Robert Wellwood, his training partner. $4.20. Brimham Rocks. Do you forgive his run last start, $4.60, and then we're out to another dollar? So what can you tell us about this Kiwi?
As a younger horse, he showed a good bit of ability. He was a listed winner. He sort of floated around open handicap grade for the rest of his life. His best effort came in December last year on a soft track. He ran fourth to Rock on Wood in a Group 1 over there, but we've never heard of Rock on Wood, so I don't know how strong that Group 1 was. Yeah, look, he could win without surprising. Tends to get sort of midfield and surge late. That looks like his pattern off the videos to my eye.
Loves a soft track.
He does. There's not a lot of speed in this race, though, Miguel. Not a lot at all.
Well, Tavi runs out now.
Tavi runs out. Midterm's probably your leader. Interesting to see whether Carlene Heffel takes Don't Doubt Dory forward. One that I thought might go forward and would have some sort of chance at a big price is Dogmatic, number 9. Good soft track form.
Loves it wet.
Loves it wet. If you look at this horse's last 7 or 8 runs, he tends to carry around 60 kegs, plus sometimes when he's in lower benchmark races. And he tries. You know, he's run up around Skyman and horses like that. A fair to remember, he chased home. You know, so I think she went and won a stakes race after that race at Flemington last September. He was only 2 and a bit lengths off her, and he gave her 4 kilos. So I think this might be a bit of canny placement from Richard Lamming, getting this horse down in the weights in a race like this with Laura Lafferty up. Should be fit. Fourth run in. Ballarat run was okay. Warrnambool run just had, you know, it was 48 wide, and you were cooked if you were in that sort of position at the Bool during the week. I think it is well worth a little each-way spec bet, Dogmatic.
You'd probably want it a bit wetter, though, wouldn't you? You'd want the rain to come for Dogmatic, wouldn't you?
Don't know about that. I think
he's $21, so he's a nice little spec bet.
I think he's a chance. This is a race where we know well and truly where the majority of these horses are at. Hypnos, We haven't seen him recently. We're only working off Kiwi form. So that's the unknown. But the rest of them are well and truly exposed. Another dollar is ready to win. But how far does she get back with 59.5 in a race where there doesn't look to be a lot of speed? Don't Doubt Dory. Looks like it needs speed to really pick up. Sort of lost its way turning at Caulfield and then surged late. So it's ready to win as well. But at the price, I'd rather watch it. I just think Dogmatic with the lightweight. This is assuming that Laura Laffey goes forward. And I think they will look at it and say, barrier 10, we've got 51 kegs on our back or whatever it is, 53, whatever she can claim to. We've got to go forward. That's our only chance. Hopefully they do.
Don't Doubt Dory gets the claim as well. 3 kilos off Carlene Heffel. So in with 51. Hit the line well at Caulfield last start. I think Dino's made it one of his best of the day at $2.80.
Can definitely win. Hit the line well. Just took a little bit of stoking to get into gear. If this is a sit sprint, does that stoking sort of leave it a little short late? I'm not sure. Might want to race with more genuine tempo.
And do you just forgive Brimham Rocks last start? Because that was when the rain really hit at Caulfield, and even though it was a soft five, it may have actually played worse than that.
Yeah, potentially. Look, handicap says he's the best horse in the race, doesn't it? I would suggest he would be midfield, just off midfield from barrier two. On ability, he's your likely winner. I just would have liked to have seen a better lead-up run than that last run.
And he was one of Mickey Walker's rides tomorrow, so we haven't got a replacement as yet for Brimham Rocks. He had a really good book of rides, Michael Walker, tomorrow at Flemington. So we'll bring you that if it comes through. Race number five is the Curra Leilani over 1,200 metres. No scratchings. Cordia at $3.20. She's honest. She was a bit painful to watch, even though she ran so honestly last start for those who were with her. 3.20, Plaquette hit the line really well last start, as did Bonza Broad. They're 3.65.50, and Exolidia, Ben Hayes gave it a good push this morning, said might be their best at Flemington tomorrow. So, I don't know about this race. 1,200 metres down the straight, Plaquette drawn out in the right place might be the way to go, but it's at $3.60. What do you think about Cordelia 1,200 down the straight?
Oh, I don't think there's any issue for her. I just thought she was a tad meek when the pressure was on last time. Will Price gave her a beautiful ride. Couldn't have ridden her better. The horse was there to run past Altai Ranger and couldn't do it. Yeah, she gave it 3.5 kilos. Fair dinkum, Altai Ranger was last seen running fourth in a benchmark 70 at Bendigo, fourth at Stall before that. It's no star, Altai Ranger. I would have thought Cordia should have gone straight past Altai Ranger, and she didn't. She nearly lost third. Nearly lost second.
Yeah, she was flat out on the post.
She sure was. Dirty old Mr. Tipler nearly ran past her. come on. She's got the ability to win. I just thought that last race was a bit meek. Plaquette, on the other hand, she thumped that line at Caulfield. Ooh, it was a nice little last 200. I think it was the best last 200 of the day. And I liked the Oliver ride where he just came across heels, let her balance up, get in a straight line, and then rip home. I thought it was a really, really good run from Plaquette. I'd rather back a horse that is hitting the line with purpose rather than one that just might be a little bit off her best. Plaquette on top, happy to back it.
Bonza Broad from Barrier 1.
Barrier 1, it probably wants some room, Bonza Broad, I'd have thought. Again, really well ridden last time to win. Won really nicely. And deserved that win too. I think this is a little bit tougher.
All right, we're taking the 360 now, Plaquette?
Probably not, because if the track's going to be really wet, there might be scratchings. So just wait. Just call your Jets punters.
All right.
Magnavale will run well for Jeff Duray.
Yeah, Jeff Duray brings a horse to Melbourne, you've got to respect it. It's $19.44.
You know what they are? They're all fast, and they're all just tough. Like, they get headed, even in when they're out of their depth. They get headed, and they just keep sticking on and fighting and chasing. I know he breeds a lot of his own horses, or his owners breed a lot of their own horses, but whatever they're breeding into them as far as ability goes, they're also breeding real toughness and a will to win. So that's a great thing to do.
Won 3 from 4 on the soft as well. Race number 6 is the first leg of the quaddy, and it is the feature. The Andrew Ramsden win this, and you've got a ticket into the Lexus Melbourne Cup. Number 7 comes out. Realm of Flowers is the $3.90 favourite. Miami Bound $4.20. Persan $4.80. Grand Promenade $6. Through Irish Eyes at $6. It's a good open race. Mohican Height, $9 as well. Danny O'Brien, had a chat to him yesterday. This is what he had to say about Miami Bound.
The last couple of runs were on the good fours, but no doubt she is a couple of lengths better if we get to a soft six, soft seven. So, you know, if that rain does come, it won't do her any harm.
Yeah, she may well get that condition by the time we get to the Andrew Ramsden. This is what Sam Friedman had to say about Realm of Flowers.
Yeah, it does. She's definitely gone up a notch, particularly, you know, from last preparation. She was competitive, obviously, in the Sandown Cup, but I think she's definitely improved off that. She's just raced without luck, basically, you know, this whole preparation. So I think Flemington, we've only run her there once. We ran her over an unsuitable trip first up this campaign, and I think she'll really love it out to this trip for that long run. And, yeah, it looks the ideal sort of track and trip for her.
She's had no luck her last two. They are the two in-form class mares at the top of the markets. SMS here, Sharky, if Persan didn't have a flat run last start, would he be the $2 favourite for tomorrow? And if so, is $4.80 generous? Are you willing to forgive Persan one bad run?
I sure am. I'm with him here. Got to remember, if the Melbourne Cup is the benchmark for staying races, this is the best locally bred stayer in the country right now. Fifth in a Melbourne Cup, none of these could dream of that sort of finish. Miami Bound ran in it too, and she was miles behind Persan. I don't know what happened last time. Kieran Maher, David Eustace don't know what happened last time. I'm not sure what the issue was. Maybe he just had an off day. It was very unlike Persan because he's such a consistent horse. I can't rule him out on the back of that run. I'm with him here. I think weight for age suits him beautifully, or set weights, sorry. Suits him beautifully. This is a distance that he should just really eat, having run fifth in a cup over 2 mile. He is on top. I'm happy to bet and find out. Realm of Flowers. Don't know if she was really well suited back inside horses.
No, she's a momentum horse. Cup.
She got held up briefly, but I don't think she's the sort of horse that likes to be crowded up. Her best runs have come when she's been able to get out and wide and around and just get into clear air and work through her gears and chase. It wasn't until very late in the race when the field started to open up and spread and they all started wandering off the fence and looking for the lane and everything else that she started to really surge through the field. Miami Bound finished ahead of her. Yes, I'm aware of that. And carried a kilo and a half more. I just think Realm of Flowers was going too well before that to put the line through. And she gets a month between runs here, which is what she seems to appreciate as well. She would be my second pick, Miami Bound, next. It's probably five chances in the race, really.
Well, a lot of the owners are the same in Persan and Realm of Flowers as well. So
yeah,
it'll be an exciting watch for them with Kiora Stud as well. Miami Bound, 420. If it does get wet, the rain comes throughout the day, the track chops up. Is she the one that you would elevate the most?
Maybe. I don't know if she wants a bog. She can get through a wet track, okay. I just don't know if she wants it really, really wet. I'd still think Persan would be a horse I'd want to back,
yep,
you know, to a soft seven or even a heavy track. By memory, his winter three-year-old form that year when he was just going through it leading up to the cup was pretty darn good. I think he was even winning over short trips over on heavy ground. So I don't think there's any wet track holds any fears for Persan.
Does Grand Promenade lead?
I think it probably does. Yeah, I think that's its chance to control the race with Harry Coffey just rating it in front and then trying to use, because he does have a turn of foot Grand Promenade, trying to use that turn of foot to get away from them a little bit. I don't think Persan will be far away. I'd expect a horse like Lion's Share to be close. It doesn't have much of a turn of foot. It'll kind of be handy, I'd have thought. Salto Angel, likewise, have been riding it a little bit off the speed. It went to the St. Ledger last time, and it was up on speed trying to stay on. That's probably its best chance, too. Still a maiden, Salto Angel.
Yeah, the X Factor's got to be through Irish Eyes. He's probably the most... Yeah. What? You just put in a line through him?
It's a different class.
What's wrong with him?
We're talking about a horse that has run fifth in a Melbourne Cup versus a horse that has won a St. Ledger, beating a maiden, an 11-start maiden, and a horse that couldn't get warm in lead-ups to the Australian Derby. You know, it's... I don't know. nice horse through Irish Eyes, good prospect, but you're playing against the big boys here.
All right, so you just put a bar through them.
No, yeah, I'm not having it. If it wins, good luck to them. But I would think on the score of form, he Persan should be giving through Irish Eyes an absolute caning.
All right, so first leg of the quaddy.
At its best.
You're backing Persan at 480. Who goes in the quaddy?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Sorry,
as I take a drink, I nearly choke. Yeah, just not knowing what the track is. There's a couple there that probably wanted a bit better, what you about, know, towards a soft about, 5. There's others that probably want it towards a soft 7.
Constantinople, 50-1. I thought he ran well in the Warrnambool Cup.
No.
Give me more than no. Why?
When from that one run that was seen from him in Australia that was good, he has done zilch.
Was a pretty good one run, fourth in a flashing fourth in a Caulfield Cup.
And since then, the best he can muster is a 5-length defeat in a Warrnambool Cup. Others preferred.
Okay, so no Constantinople, no hope through Irish Eyes.
Well, not no hope, I'm just not backing it. Well, if they win, happy days.
You didn't put it in the quaddy.
No, so I'm not putting it in the quaddy.
He's not in your top 5 in a field of 10.
No.
All right, so 2, Grand Promenade.
I have
three
been wrong before, I will say that.
4, Mohican Heights. 5, Mamie Bound. And 6, Realm of Flowers. They are your selections in the Andrew Ramsden. All right, let's kick on because we've got interstate races to look at as well. Race number seven, is the Silver Bowl. This is over 1,400 metres. This is an interesting race because when you look at it on paper, you go, oh, Ranting? How are they going to beat Ranting? But it's got 63.5 kilos, gets a kilo and a half off. So he's got to carry 62. Altai Ranger was a horse that beat Cordilla last start. It gets 3 kilos off, gets in with 54.5. It'll be up on speed. It's the $5 favourite. Rathlin, $5.50. Ranting, $6. Vibrant Glider is an interesting runner, first up, $6.50. Winsome, Excuses last start at $8. And gee, I like the win of Grand Pope last Sunday for Nick Ryan at $9 as well. Sharky, what are we doing in the Silver Bowl?
This is a mess. This is a mess. Ranting, look, take Ranting out of the race. This is a benchmark 78. That's what it is. Let's be honest. It says three-year-old handicap, open handicap. This is a benchmark 78. And there are horses here that is probably their true level of talent, a benchmark 78. Ranting is a much better horse than that. And on the back of the little muscle injury in his back that Troy and Leon Corson's got right, and a return to form in a, you know, an okay group two, let's say, the Tobin Bronze, formerly the Euclays, at Morfordville. I thought that was a really good sign that he's getting back to his best. Even with the weight, I think he should be winning this. Would you ask yourself this question, Miguel? Would you back Ranting to win a benchmark 78?
Yes, but well, here he's got 62.5. And then
I get that, but some of these horses
he's got to give 9.5 kilos to Vibrant Glider first up.
Vibrant Glider's a 66 rater. That's best horse performance to date. It's been, you know, beaten nearly 3 lengths over 1,700 in a benchmark 70.
Like, he's a horse that could improve, though. He's first up.
Look, he could improve.
He's an improving galloper. There's no doubt Ranting is the best horse in the race. Now, if it gets into the soft 6, soft 7, are you willing to back him with 62.5?
I'm probably not willing to back him because of the ground. Not so much the weight. I think good horses can carry weight, particularly against, they're not bad horses, but they're limited horses, right? The horse in this race that's got better than average ability, but as you mentioned, he has had excuses, is Winsome, number 6. You know, I'm starting to think maybe his best form will be on rain-affected ground. I thought he was good enough. First up, winning at Cranbourne, 1,000 metres isn't his go. A class saw him through there. Estoril Park since won and run very, very well. Spit it out, Michael. And then he went to Caulfield. Close up behind Minhaj. That horse went to Adelaide and should have run well in a group race, so, or a stakes race. There's good form around him. Last time, Internal Bleed. I've always looked at Winsome as a horse that would probably get to 1,400 a mile and be really effective. The raw ability's there. Probably hasn't put it all together yet, but after just 5 starts, you'd give him some chance of realising that talent. I think he's the danger. The rest of them, bleh.
I think Ranting is obviously going to be hard to beat, but at $8, win some each way from barrier four could be a very nice each way play when he's got 54 kilos on his back.
I think that's probably how I'd play the race, you know. I'd have a little win bet on Ranting and a little bet at Win Some, because one of them's $6 and one of them's $8, and they're the I think they're the best horses in the race.
All right, so quarting numbers.
1, 6, 8, and 10.
1, 6, 8, and 10.
Grand Pope only goes in because of how well Nick Ryan's going. It won a benchmark 58 last weekend. I know it had weight, but, you know.
No Altai Ranger.
Puke. No Altai Ranger.
Okay. Looks probably the only real speed horse in the race. So.
Yeah, it does. It's got to do it with weight this time.
Okay. Altai Ranger, no. So 1, Ranting 6.
It's up 3.5 kegs, I think, on Winsome, that last win.
8.
And I'd say Ranting's better than Cordilla.
Field of Roses, an $18 pop.
Yep, Field of Roses, not hopeless here. Good first up at Pakenham, just into an awkward spot at Flemington last time. So probably a little bit too close.
You're putting it in instead of the stablemate, which is $6.50 Vibrant Glider.
Yep.
All right, and the 10 Grand Pope. All right, that is Sharky's trimish, skinnyish second leg. They're 1, 6.
We have to be brave at some
8
point.
And 10. Here we go, SMSs. Good morning, guys. Getting ready for work and missed it. Did you give Hacky use? Give Hacky a chance in race four. Warren from Vermont. What about Hacky in the fourth?
Not Warren. That's not the Warren from Vermont. Not Wazza Huntley. He wouldn't use a term like use, would he?
He's a man of the people.
He is, right.
Absolutely.
VB drinker?
Anything drinker.
Anything drinker.
Yeah. Anything that's wet. Hacky, any chance? Yeah.
No, let's just have a look at Hacky. Save him for another day.
Save him for another day. Totally disagree with his Shark. Three Welsh Eyes is each way bet of the century, as it's okay. A superior mudlark. Tony in Perth.
Based on what, Tony?
Good to have you listening, Tony.
Three Welsh Eyes is run on a soft five and a soft five. Never seen anything worse. How is it a mudlark on that basis?
Special from Noosa. We're all around Australia today. Haven't I got a put in all, put in, put, pull out job for you to load all
special.
Your winnings into tomorrow. Lock for the Maltese. Get out a filly I've got to share in with some fellas from the McGrath stable.
Uh-huh.
Globe Derby Trots.
This is the dirt.
Globe
like.
Derby Trots, race 2, number 6. It's a margin job. Globe Derby Trots, race 2, number 6. Should win, just wins, will win. Cheers, Spec.
Hang on. Where's this at?
Globe Derby.
Now, special. There's been some rumours, actually, that Special from Noosa has recently acquired himself quite a lucrative piece of real estate on the beachfront there at Noosa.
I haven't got the Globe
I've
Derby.
Noted his absence, too, in recent weeks from the text line. I think it may be due to some entertaining
right.
he's
now,
been doing.
Special, we don't have the odds up for race 2, number 6 at Globe Derby, but we've not noted that down. Race
when is
2,
it?
Number 6.
Today,
Saturday
tomorrow?
Night. Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Yep.
Righto.
Another one here saying Irish Eyes will bite you in the clicker, Shark. Drops 4 kilos.
The clicker.
It's Michael from Brisbane. I think he's edited that. I am a Sharky fan, but he only picked 2 winners last Saturday, and they were $1.80 and $1.60. Lift, Shark.
No, they won't.
That's from Mick of Richmond.
The thing in Queensland.
Yeah, but that might have been
Caulfield. Michael was $9.
That might have been
something else was.
Might have been at Caulfield. He was
price
talking
as
about.
Well.
Great Don't show again, Caulfield. Guys.
I told you it was a rubbish meeting.
What about Rykovic? Any chance? We're about to come
Too
to that.
Too much weight.
Rykovic, Gavin in Boronia. Yeah, he's a horse once he gets
Too
down.
Too much weight.
All right, let's get on to that race because...
Globe Derby, what did he say? Race 6 or race 2?
Race 2, number 6.
Oh, okay.
All right, third leg of the quaddie tomorrow. And Rykovic is the top weight. Let's have a look at the market. Viral, first up, $4.80. Riddle me that. Good run last up, $5.50. Yulong January, $5.50. And then we're out to Rykovic at $8.50. Bumper Blast, $11. Coming through that Wongoom form as well. And the Wongoom winner, Innkeeper, is at $18. Looks another whitish leg of the quaddy. Who do you like here, Shark?
I suspect Yulong January can control the race here with Mark Zara in the saddle. I thought he was excellent. Second up. You know, he was tipped by many to win that race. Dice Roll had the better of him late. Dice Roll, we know, is Stradbroke bound, potentially, if it can get its rating up a little bit more. And 2 for 2. But what I liked was when Dice Roll went to him,
yep.
He kept sticking on. It looked like he'd probably fade and run third, you know, just tiring that little bit. But he kept fighting, which was great. He will be fitter this time. He will lead. He'll control the speed. Mark Zara will direct him to the best part of the track, and he'll be hard to beat. He'll be in front at the 200, I would suggest. and you're looking towards horses that do a lot of running on and not a lot of winning as the main dangers behind him. I think he'll probably only have Rocks the Castle for company on speed from 12. I don't know if Luke Nolan will be really wanting to light the fire on speed, though, in this sort of race. I was disappointed that Riddle Me That didn't win that race at Caulfield last start. Daniel Stackhouse gave him a great ride. Horse travelled up like it was going to let go and win. It didn't.
I think the win is pretty good. I think people underestimate that Tassie still a star. I think she's pretty good. Look, she's going to be a contender in some decent races come the spring.
Maybe in a handicap, maybe. But I thought Riddle Me That was entitled, given the run it had, to get closer to them. Just a little bit soft late. Maybe he's not super effective on soft ground because it's starting to look like he's best on top of the deck. I just can't get that form out of my head, though. Those first two runs was building towards a win. Galaxy Raider will run well again. Innkeeper hasn't won at the distance, but it's in great form. Simon Wild's got him going well. Yeah, look, how wide do you want to go? I've sort of narrowed it down to 5, thinking it'll be a soft 5, soft 6 if it's wetter. You probably need to look at some other wet trackers. 4, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yulong January on top.
Four,
better have a little six, win bet
seven,
on
7, 8, and 9. Okay, Riddle Me That. 6. You're putting in, which is, what's number 6? Where is it? I've lost it here.
Number 6?
Did you say 4, 6, 7, 8, 9?
Yeah, Iconoclasm.
Iconoclasm. You're giving Iconoclasm another chance.
Yep.
It's at $41, even though Dan O'Brien said the other day it's not going that well.
Yeah, down in the weights might change things up. Meh, blinkers off. Meh. Yulong, it's good enough to win if it's right. It's that sort of race.
I don't know. I can't believe you have put Iconoclasm in. Yeah. And you've left Viral out, the stablemate, the favourite. He gets in with 52 kilos, drawn to get the suckiest run ever behind the speed.
If it gets really wet, I don't know about Viral.
Okay. All right. 4, 6, 7, Yulong January. 8, which is Galaxy Raider, a horse that I really like, but he's another one, long time between drinks, $12. And the 9, which is Innkeeper at $18. Gee, we're going to be getting a fat quad if these get up.
Look, I'd rather be, if this track deteriorates and gets beyond a soft 6, you want to be with horses that are fit.
All right, we've got to fly. We're running late. Last race of 9 at Flemington.
Like to be running late.
Is Ocean Mist, the $4.40 favourite.
Usually so punctual.
San Fabrizio, $5. Dirty Deeds is at $5.50. What are we doing in the last?
Praying, I think, is probably a good start.
San Fabrizio, isn't it the one that's going to improve enormously second up? The money came for it at Bendigo.
Yeah.
Drawn again to get a good run.
I don't know. I think Reformist. I think Wave Reviews. I don't know if it's any sort of star. It's an 8-year-old that's had 11 billion starts and it couldn't get past it. Look, it'll improve, absolutely. But are we getting carried away because it's got FR next to its name and it's, the import that we all assume will be better than everything else? Don't know. I think we're taking unders there. There's a horse in this race coming across from Adelaide that I could back each way. Number 13, Pearl Bandit.
$11.
Yep.
All right.
Really good run first up in Adelaide to Magna Bella. I think there's some depth around that form. Designer Chef's been sort of back across the border a few times and running well. I think Designer Chef might have beaten Laveron. No, there was something he beat earlier this year that was quite useful. Triton Rising, it might have been. And then Pearl Bandit went back from a wide gate with weight last time. Squeezed up, had to come around them. Late work was good. It can run a really good race at double figures for you all.
All right, quaddy numbers.
Quaddy numbers.
What was that?
I don't know.
Quaddy numbers in the last.
We got a little help from outside.
Oh,
yep.
We did. I think we have to go wide. 259, 11, 13, 17.
259, 13, and 17. So
11, 13, 17.
11, 13, 17.
Falls is going well. Fit.
All right, so the 2, Mr. Tippler, who you didn't give much of a rap to before.
Nah, but it's that sort of race.
Reformist. The 9 is Vegas Knight.
Mm-hmm.
11,
Falls.
13, Pearl Bandit. And 17, San Fabrizio. Some good value in the last there as well. All right, we're going to put that quaddy out because it could be a fat, fat quaddy at Flemington.
We'll retire on that quaddy
tomorrow. We need to take a quick break. On the other side of this, we'll find the Group 1 winners and we'll also get to all of the SMSs and those tips from Outwide.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. Time to have a look at the Group 1s now. The Goodwood in South Australia. Geetra, $3.20. Behemoth, $4.20. Instant Celebrity at $6. Beau Ross at $9. Kemmel Pass at $10. Sharky, the top two stand out as far as quality and Group 1 performances are concerned. Are they the two that you're with in the Goodwood?
I want to try Instant Celebrity. I think the jury was out based on feedback from the stable after the Redelva run. Sangster win was dynamic. She was back with her turn of foot there. Great ride from Craig Williams, but why can't she produce that turn of foot and win again? I think she's got the sharpest acceleration of anything in this race. At $6, I'm happy to try her. I think, obviously, the top two are hard to beat. Kemmel Passer always gets ignored in races like this, but he's so tough and honest. It was a really easy win there in the Irwin, fresh for this. No reason why he can't go well. Great wet track stats for Kemmel Passer. It'll be a great race to watch, the Goodwood. I think there's probably four or five genuine chances. Dirty Work's always unlucky, but it's got the ability. Beau Rosso's a bit of a... He just keeps winning, doesn't he? He's a bit of a strange horse. Probably should be undefeated this preparation, bar that little bob of the head at Caulfield with Ripper Rita. Instant Celebrity's my go.
All right. Not worried about the 11 gate. Going to have to go back.
On a wet track with so much
wear on
it.
How wet's it going to be tomorrow?
Well, it's... What is it? They've had the same rain we have. It's a soft five. And when the Morphettville tracks had that much traffic over it...
We tried to get hold of the Adelaide track manager. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to get hold for an update.
I wasn't going to bring that up, but since you did. Anyway, the way you can get across the Adelaide track after a long carnival, you know, they can start coming wide and looking for those better lanes. I don't think it's going to be a massive issue for Instant Celebrity and Jamie Carr.
It is a soft five at the moment. They are predicting showers today and then tomorrow 16 and sunshine in Adelaide.
So you'd assume it would be around a soft five.
Yep. All right. Anything else in Adelaide that catches your eye?
I'm happy to try one in the Phillies Classic. My Squeeze Louise looks like it wants ground. Races on speed.
Dennis Pagan.
Yep. Keeps staying on it at one bat. I don't see why it can't run a really good race in the Phillies Classic. It's going to lead a long, long way.
$34.
I think that's a crazy price.
Gee, the Proud Miss is a good race. Rubisaki, Brooklyn Hustle, Hummer Hummer, all probably could have easily taken their place in the Goodwood. Who are you with there?
Hummer Hummer probably wants it nearer good than soft, I'd have thought. Just lacks that little extra on rain-affected ground. Rubisaki swims through it. I think she's the pick. Look, Brooklyn Hustle's always that horse that everyone talks about and go back and remember its form. It hasn't won in a long time now. And yes, she's been running in a lot of Group 1s. I get that. And we said the other week she's probably a Group 2 horse. Well, here's a Group 3. This is her chance to win. If she can't win this, honestly, what do you do with her?
Well, there should be no traffic issues.
No, there shouldn't be at all.
It's only a small field. But Rubisaki loves a cutout. I think she's back to her best.
Rubisaki, absolutely, is a really lively foe here for Brooklyn Hustle because you know that Rubisaki tries every time. I'm not saying Brooklyn Hustle doesn't, but if you're getting back in the field and trying to flash late and you're trying to chase a horse down that wants to find the line, it's damn hard to pick him up.
All right, let's have a look at the 10,000, and this is a lot more clear-cut according to the market. Eduardo touched odds on a little earlier this morning. It's now back out to even money. Wild Ruler $5, Trekking $8, Splintex $10. Can they beat a flying Eduardo around Doomben on a favoured wet surface?
I don't think so. I think he just goes around there and should lead and win. Nashua Willow knows the horse really well. They've clicked together beautifully. Nash wasn't on in the TJ, of course, but the horse still ran well for Brenton Havdallah. He's had a nice little tune-up at the Warwick Farm trial since. He likes wet ground. Yep. I think he will be winning.
Yeah, take the evens. Use them in their little all-ups.
Oh, just back him.
All right.
Nothing wrong with that. Shame in backing one at $2.
Anything else in Queensland?
Yeah, a couple there.
Hangman and Warning go around the chairman's.
Warning on a wet track, getting fitter, is an interesting prospect. Senor Toba.
Good win last start.
Yeah, wet track form's not great, but I think going towards the Queensland Derby, he's one to keep a very close eye on. And in race five, the Spirit of Boom Classic, there's a very good colt here called Giannis, number 4. Now, 1,200 might be a touch short for him, but going towards the Sires and the Atkins, I think he is the top seed.
Well, he is the favourite first up. $4.80 though, still very backable.
Very backable. It's, you know what, at that price he's worth trying. But just keep in mind, 1400 mile, I think this is a guineas horse for the spring.
And going to be good to see Love Tap first up as well for Richard and Michael Freeman.
Great name. 290. Love that name.
And does love the wet as well. A couple of tips here from the listeners. Sharky, got a treble for you tomorrow. Adelaide, yep. Race 2, number 1, Karakasu.
Yeah.
Adelaide Race 4, number 1, Rubisaki, and Melbourne, Sartorial. So that is for Michael in Brisbane. All very good hopes there.
Putting a lot of faith in Sartorial. Like the other two. I like Sartorial too. Just right. I don't know if he wants to be your third pick of a multi.
One other one here. That's out wide. New Plymouth, Race 2.
Oh, yes.
Curious Gore. That's
who's
from Tim and
New Plymouth.
Tim and Keelor. All right, New Plymouth over in. New Zealand. All right,
usually,
that's a little
man,
out wide one.
Usually the man Curtly Ambrose on the Tips No Banter WhatsApp group throws up a few weird ones at New Zealand. I'm just checking the WhatsApp group. He's been quiet this morning, which is it's troubling.
Got one more out wide. Leopardstown tonight. Race 1, number 8.
Oh, yeah.
Mamaze, owned by Shadwell, ridden by C. Hayes. That's from Tony. Well, the tip last week. Armory. You could have got even money, Armory. That was a very nice that's overseas tip as money. Well. All right, Sharky, we need a three-state filthy all-up multi to get us through this wintery weekend. The listeners are calling. Sharky, what are we doing?
I think if you do Eduardo the win.
Eduardo
Brisbane,
win.
Instant celebrity the place. I can't see her missing the place.
Okay.
Do we put our faith in Persan? Yeah, let's do it. Persan to win. Fatten it right up.
Persan to win,
yeah,
instant celebrity the place,
right
Eduardo
yep.
to win.
Yep,
all right.
That's
so,
what we're doing.
So you're going Persan your best at Flemington?
Yeah, Plaquette, Persan, I'll back both of those and I'll have something each way on Pearl Bandit. All the P's.
Have you got anything? Have you got anything tonight for us?
Cranbourne, yes, I do. Just received a text from a little snout down there at Cranbourne who gets around the traps a little bit. Race 7 in the fresh and direct Benchmark 78. Number 12, Love Broker.
Love Broker, Greg Urell, a $5.50 chance. We'll take that to Cranbourne tonight. We've got more winners coming up at Cranbourne. Trev Noonan will be with us in a moment. And Harry White looking at Geelong. Sharknado, enjoy your weekend.
And yours, Michael.
I will see you on Monday on The Verdict. And we've got Mytho joining us on The Verdict because Matty Stewart's on holiday. And speaking of guest panellists, tomorrow morning we're live out at Flemington between 10 and almost 12 o'clock. Dan Malecki, myself, and Michael Kent Jr., will be our guest host as well. So it'll be fascinating to hear Michael's thoughts throughout the day as well. That's it for Friday Form Focus. Don't go anywhere though. More winners coming up on the other side of this.